Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall Podcast with the very loud intro music. I'm Chris Sheeran. I thought I took care of that. It's no longer Club Sheeran, by the way. It's just plain old Off the Wall Podcast. The name will be changing soon, by the way. We said farewell to Joe Auriemma. Our last podcast, he will do one more with me, one more Off the Wall, which we created, as you all know, back in 2009, right around this time, actually. So the podcast is coming up on 4 years of age, and man, has it grown. I can't even begin to tell you how much it means to me to be able to do this, do something I love, and do it at the network that I do it at, which I love so much as well. The team I grew up basically rooting for, it's a dream come true for me. I'm excited for Joe's opportunity. I'm also excited for the next step the podcast is going to take. We're going to try to do this every day, all day, every day. That's my intent. And it really inspired me to get in here today, that NBA Finals game last night. I really had no responsibilities here at Yes today, but I was at the gym, and going into the gym listening to sports talk radio, as I always do, and then hearing more of it at the gym on SportsCenter, on ESPN, I had to voice my opinions. It's what this is for. It's my platform. It's my soapbox, as it were, and this is where I'm going to air my venomous opinions, and I really don't care who likes them or not. And you know, you could call in if you want, if you disagree with me, if you're out there listening and you disagree with me, fine, I don't care, debate me, I dare you. 646-716-4961 646-716-4961 is the number if you want to jump aboard here on the Off the Wall Podcast. I'm excited for the new name, haven't really come up with it yet, but that'll be after Joe and I do our final show this week at some point. Anyway, NBA Finals, last night. I've seen this before. I've seen this movie. I know how it ends. When the Spurs came back 3-2, someone came up to me and asked me, "Spurs?" I said, "Yeah, Spurs, forget it. The Heat are winning in seven." Seen it before. I'm going to be 40. And it's across all sports. It's not just the NBA. Seen it before. There's no way the Heat were losing that game. None. Absolutely none. No foul on Ginobili. No foul on Green. On that three-pointer with Bosch. You just shake your head. But you know what's going to happen. I mean, I could sit here and say I was shocked. But I wasn't. Who wouldn't want a game seven? And now you have it. And I heard, you know, driving in today, and I'm not going to mention any names, but this person was going off on the Spurs for being despondent in the postgame. Newsflash. Have you ever lost anything big in your life? I don't care what level it was at. Little league, high school, college, whatever. Doesn't matter if you made it to be a professional. The only difference between you at any other level other than a professional is that after that game, there weren't any cameras in front of you. I have been inconsolable and despondent in times of losing. I hate to lose. Hate it. And that's my father's fault. Chris, you play to win. And that's what I do. I compete with every last ounce, every last fiber of my body. I compete until the game is over. And I hate the letter L. When Sesame Street was brought to you by the letter L, I hated that. Reminded me of a loss. I need to win. Apparently, so did LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. They all came up big last night. All of them. We have a game seven.
And you know what? I don't have to watch Game 7. Like I said, I know how this movie ends. The Heat, who were basically under a minute away from losing the finals on their home floor, tie it up, go to overtime and win it in dramatic fashion. And then they take Game 7. LeBron goes from having basically one ring and a bunch of question marks with that loss if they lost in Game 6 to his second ring and maybe staying in Miami and getting some more. And this goes back to what I said when LeBron, who's made tremendous strides since that whole decision debacle with Jim Gray, which was just god-awful. Dog and pony show. But he has proved himself time and time again on the court. He is the best basketball player on the planet. Bar none, hands down. But the thing that gets me absolutely enraged, it makes my skin crawl. I tuned in for a little bit, USA Honduras, the World Cup qualifying that the United States is continuing to, you know, go through. They have some games in September as well. I think they have 3 games left, if I'm not mistaken. And right now they're doing very, I think they have 13 points after their win over Honduras, their 1-0 win. Jose Altidore scored in the 4th straight game, which is a record for the United States, by the way. They took it 1-0, as they say, on the pitch. And I'm watching this game, and, a slide tackle. The guy goes down, he's wrenching in pain, he's holding his knee, and 3 seconds later, he pops up and he's running to the ball. Soccer flop. Soccer flop. Immediately what pops into my head, and I tweeted it last night. If you follow me on Twitter and you listen to the podcast, you're going to, this is not going to be news to you. You want to cut out the flops in the NBA? $5,000 doesn't matter to these guys. That's a trip to the ATM. That is a tip at a club. It's not going to stop. I don't care first, second, third offense. You want to stop flopping? Put it in the official's hands. First flop, yellow card. Second flop, red card. You're out of the game. LeBron James is 6'8", 250, 260, somewhere around there. In the last round, DJ Augustine is putting LeBron James on his keister. Are you kidding me? If James got in a fight, if someone barely touched his chest, is he falling to the floor? This is asinine. And they say, well, it helps. It helps to flop. It gives my team an edge, an advantage. And by the way, don't call a foul either, NBA officials. Let them flop to the floor and open the lane and get a free layup or a free dunk and see how much they're going to flop. No foul. God, do I miss the days before hand-checking was a foul. That was basketball. At least teams could play defense. Bruce Bowen wouldn't be able to play in the damn league the way it is now. He'd foul out in the first 6 minutes of the game. So would Derek Harper, former Knick. These guys lived. Bowen lived on his tenacious defense. Harper lived with that hand check. Out by the three-point line. On the defense, guarding the league's best guards. You know, Michael Jordan was another case. If you're a Knicks fan, you understand what I'm saying. You couldn't even. Jordan had a halo around him, much like a receiver on a fair catch of a punt. You can't come within like a 3-foot radius. If you came within that 3-foot radius and even waved it air, the whistle was already being blown when you raised your hand to go for the ball. It was a foul. It drove you absolutely insane if you weren't a Bulls fan. If you were a Bulls fan, you loved it. And again, not taking anything away from Michael Jordan, great player. But great players also get the benefits of great calls. Respect. Which I think is asinine as well. It's not a foul, it's not a foul. If you want to cry, cry. Stay back on and argue with the official and cry while your team is shorthanded on defense. It's overgrown crybabies. Play the game. You're going to whine, piss, and moan about a foul that wasn't called? Give me a break. It gets to the point where it's unwatchable. And here's another thing that I'm fed up with in the world of professional sports and sports talkies as well. Oh, you can't call that foul there. You can't call that penalty in the last minute of the fourth quarter. Let me be perfectly clear with you, okay? You could disagree with me to the hilt, but I will never back down. I will argue this until I'm blue in the face, and I don't care if it goes against my team. If it's a foul or a penalty with 8 minutes left in the first quarter, it's a foul or a penalty with 3 seconds left in the fourth quarter. It is. So what are you allowed to do in basketball? When a guy's going for a shot with 3 seconds left, you could tackle him? No, how could you call that foul there? Can't call that foul there. They're just playing. You got to let them play. You sound stupid. Stupid. It's a foul. Oh, you can't call a holding penalty in the last 10 seconds on the defense in the last 10 seconds of an NFL game. Why not? If the guy got held, it's a hold. Throw the flag. If that official is going to pull that flag out of his pocket in the first quarter, he better damn well pull it out in the fourth quarter. The Falcons, they got jobbed. You remember the call? The non-call, as it were? Helped the 49ers get into the damn Super Bowl. Anyway, I don't get the flopping. I don't get the quote-unquote respect. Well, he's been in the league for so long, so he gets the benefit of the doubt with, if he travels or if he's camped out in the paint with a damn, fire and a tent. He's roasting marshmallows in the damn paint. Can you call 3 seconds? It's still a rule, isn't it, in basketball? You can't be in the paint for more than 3 seconds? Can we enforce that? Can the officials count to three? Are they paying attention to that? Are they so worried about these prima donna athletes not getting a foul call that they're so worried that someone's going to be in LeBron's halo? Oh, got to blow that whistle. I was at a Nets game, not this past season, the season before. They called 75 fouls. 75. Unwatchable. That's why, and I'll say it, I don't care. College basketball supersedes the pros. It always will. You want to talk about letting them play? They let them play in college. There's more of a flow. That's why I like hockey better than the NBA. More of a flow. Not a lot of stoppage in play. The NBA, up the floor foul, down the floor foul, up the floor foul, down the floor foul. If you took the action, and I might try this once. If you took the action and put it up against that time of the action and the time spent at the foul line, I bet you it's pretty even. How could you get into that game? And I understand, you know, this is – last night's game was exciting. It was. Great ending. 5 seconds, you know, he come back down five, tied up, winning it overtime. Yeah, tremendous ending, tremendous game. Not going to poo-poo that. And there are people getting on Miami Heat fans for leaving the stadium early. And Miami fans are not the best fans on the planet. We all know that. But I'll tell you right now, I was at Yankees Red Sox in 2003, sitting out in left field where Aaron Boone's fly ball landed, home run. Where his home run landed to win that game in the 11th. And when the Yankees were down 5-2, I almost left in the 7th inning because I didn't want to see the Boston Red Sox celebrate at Yankee Stadium. Now, I didn't leave. The person I was with convinced me to stay, and I'm glad they did. Because, my God, for me to miss that, that was one of the best things I ever saw in the world of sports live. And I was sitting out there in the left field seats, the old stadium, by the way, so we all know. And everybody that came up in the bottom of the ninth, everybody that came up in the bottom of the 10th, I had my camera out and I was taking video of every at bat. Every one of them. In the bottom of the 11th, I got sick and tired of holding my camera up and Aaron Boone leads off. I put my camera down on my lap, and no quicker than I put my camera down on my lap than the first pitch is soaring exactly where I'm sitting. So quick, I scrambled, I got it. I got the camera back up, and I caught the ball coming in, and then the fans' reaction. I don't know where I have that. I have to find that, but it's. I would put it on Twitter. Because it's some of the purest raw emotion that I've ever been a part of at a major sporting event. Unbelievable. I'd like to have a reunion with the people that were sitting around us because they were all great. And there were five rows of Red Sox fans giving us garbage the entire game. And yours truly may or may not have stood up on one of the seats and pointed at them and said some things that I can't repeat right now. But it was pretty fun. I'm not going to get on the Miami Heat fan for leaving. I'm not, because I almost did too. It's tough. Now, I know they're fair weather fans. I know they're not the best, and I know that's why everybody's giving them an issue. But would you want to watch San Antonio celebrate winning a championship on your floor? That would drive me insane. It's another thing about me. I don't go as nuts as I used to go. I don't get as wrapped up in it as I used to. I used to not sleep. It doesn't happen anymore. It's not worth it. The Rangers lost to the Devils last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. That would have killed me 10 years ago. I probably wouldn't have slept for a week. I slept like a baby the night they lost. I wasn't on the ice. I didn't factor into the game. The hell am I going to get worried about? We press on to the next year, and we lose to the Bruins in the semis. Whatever. New coach, new direction. Hopefully the Rangers can get something done. The Yankees, you know, Yankees are in trouble. Telling you that right now. Big time trouble. Yukelis is gone now for 3 months. He's done for the season. I would be shocked to see Kevin Yukelis back in a Yankees jersey this year. Or next year, for that matter. Very happy for David Adams, and I'm very thrilled to see what he's going to be able to do, you know, up with the major league level for the rest of the season, because he's going to be here. He's a great kid. He deserves the shot, and I'm very happy for him. But Joel Sherman wrote a pretty good article, not pretty good, great, great article, a couple days back, about the Yankees reminding him of last year's Red Sox. And he, you know, I can't argue with anything that he said in that article. I really can't. the Red Sox turn into a, you know, pretty much minor league team with all their injuries last year. And then they jettisoned everybody at the trading deadline out to the Dodgers, who apparently have money to burn. That old Bugs Bunny cartoon with, I think it was Porky Pig by the fireplace throwing money into the fireplace. With the Crawford and the Gonzalez and the Josh Beckett, they all go out there to L.A. And the Red Sox, if you're as old as I am, about to turn 40 in August, you remember the TRS-80 computers that we used to have back in grammar school before we have these brilliant PCs and Apples. You know, the Macs, we had the TRS-80, and in the upper right-hand corner, they had an orange reset button. And when something went wrong or the computer froze, you just hit the orange reset button, everything was fine. And that's what the Red Sox did last year. And look where they are. Back in first place. They won 69 games last year. 69. I think they're going to win more than 69 this year. I don't know if they're going to win a division. But they did what they needed to do last year, and that's jettison all that bad blood that was in the clubhouse. It wasn't only Bobby Valentine, and I like Bobby V. I've said that before. It wasn't just Bobby Valentine. It was those bad apples that they sent out. And I guarantee you, if you went up to Dustin Pedroia and injected him with sodium pentothal, he would tell you just what he feels about those three guys that they left out to L.A. I would guarantee you that. You might not even have to give him the truth serum. But the Yankees are in trouble. The pitching can only hold you afloat for so long. And, you know, with all the injuries that have happened to this team, what's to say the rotation doesn't suffer a little major hit as well? And if that happens, you know, it's basically going to be the season. What they've done to this point has been nothing short of a miracle. With everything they've had to endure, they got the doubleheader for the Dodgers that's starting in a couple of minutes, if you're listening to this live. If you're not, there is a doubleheader today. First game's at 1, second game is at 7. We have two pregames, two postgames. It's all on Yes. It was supposed to be on My9 yesterday. But, you know, they really need to keep this starting rotation intact. I'm not worried about the bullpen. They have depth in the bullpen. They do. It's the starting rotation that I'm worried about. Pineda's coming back. I mean, he's on his way. He's making some impressive starts. He's topping out at 95 with his fastball. You know, it's not 97, his first year with the Mariners in that first half where he was lights out and made the All-Star team. But he's in better shape. He's throwing the ball well. I saw Brian Cashman is very pleased with his progress. And who knows what happens when he gets healthy. Phil Hughes better be looking over his shoulder. David Phelps as well. Because the Yankees have to see what they have in Pineda, because that trade is still up in the air. You don't know what that trade is until Pineda comes up to the major league level and he's able to contribute to this team in any kind of capacity. Because we know Montero and Noesi, the ones that went the other way in that deal, they were both sent down to AAA Tacoma. So right now, the Yankees, and you know, they have Campos as well, who everybody's very high on. And he had the surgery last year. But, you know, it still remains to be seen what this trade is going to be. Yankees offense is you know, they need Teixeira to come back. They need, you know, Alex Rodriguez. They better hope he doesn't get suspended for this biogenesis stuff, because they're going to actually need him. Derek Jeter was cleared to start baseball activities. You know, it's all well and good, but look at Youkilis, look at Teixeira, look at Granderson. All three of them came back, and all three of them are gone again. And I don't know how much longer this offense could tread water. I really don't. You know, there is no Noah. A 40, you know, an ark cannot be built to save this team. The only thing preventing the Yankees from being the Titanic right now is that pitching staff across the board. They're extra lifeboats on the Titanic of this season because of the Yankees. All the holes in the Titanic of the Yankees are all the injuries. And the only thing that's helping them tread water is that pitching staff, starters and relievers combined. And they have some hiccups here and there. They're allowed. Pitchers are allowed to have bad days. But they are the ones responsible. And some clutch hitting, you know, Hafner and Overbay, at the beginning of the season, and Vernon Wells, they carried the offense. Now it's Brett Gardner. Yeah, I'm going to toot my horn again. Brett Gardner, the guy I saw in 2005 and said, oh, yeah, he'll make a difference. You don't know what you're talking about. Who are you? What are you, a scout? I don't know. Somebody want to hire me? Been around the game for a while. My entire life. Love it. Anyway, Brett Gardner, highest average on the Yankees. Go figure. That's about going to wrap it up for me here. I'm done on my venting board. I just had to come and get that off my chest. Changes are abound for the podcast, as I mentioned. Joe and I will do one more show later on this week. That'll just be exclusively on yesnetwork.com. And these are going to come off Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to, because we have this brand new equipment. I'm doing this on the phone through Blog Talk. And, you know, I get it. People don't want to hear me sounding like I'm in Siberia, you know, inside a hollowed-out tree. I understand. So I've heard those complaints, and Joey's teaching me how to input it onto our iMac and get it right onto iTunes and right up onto yesnetwork.com with high-quality microphones and equipment. So once Joe bids his farewell and I get that computer, every day we're going to do this podcast. We're going to have Lou DiPietro on. We'll bring Glenn Jean Grandy on, a Yes Network All-Star Cavalcade. When football season rolls around, Greg Breton, who's great with football, he works on the Mike Francesa show, and he's got a great personality. I just want to get some people out there you might not have heard before, give them a shot, and have some fun with this. You know, Joe and I took it to a high level. We won the National Cable Fax Award, beating out TNT, TBS, a couple other national outlets. That was very satisfying. And this year we were a runner-up. I take a lot of pride in that. And I know Kevin Sullivan and Michael Spirito and Eric Handler, the rest of the guys that help out the internet team, the YesNetwork.com team, I know they put a lot of pride into that as well. We love what we do. I hope it shows, and I really appreciate everyone that listens, whether it's live or whether it's later in the day. It doesn't matter to me. As long as you're there, as long as you're sharing some time with me, I just want you to know we appreciate it, and we wouldn't have won that award if it wasn't for people listening and downloading on iTunes. Don't forget you can do that. You could subscribe. It is absolutely 100% free, and we welcome new listeners. So, for everyone in our department at yesnetwork.com, this is Chris Sheeran saying adios. Joe and I will see you later in the week, and then next week, I am flying solo, Han Solo, with some special yesnetwork.com special guests. We're going to have fun. It'll be a new name, a new direction. I just want the Off the Wall podcast to remain Joe and my baby. I don't want it to carry on without him. That's why we're changing the name. But anyway, I hope everybody has a great day. Here's looking forward to a Game 7 where the Miami Heat will win, probably by 20. You heard it here first. The Spurs will not win, so don't even watch. You don't even have to watch. Miami's going to win. No way Miami doesn't win this game, and they don't blow them out. It'll be close till the half. And then the Heat will go on one of their patented 33-13 runs in the third or fourth quarter, and they will win the game by 20. Mark my words, there will be no drama at the end of Game 7. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time.